you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
From 89.3 KPCC and KPCC.org, this is the final Take Two. I'm Ian Martinez. Before we start, thank you very much for listening, and thanks for trusting us with your time for the last 9 years. All right, let's jump right on in on State of Affairs. That's our weekly dive into California's politics pool. You know, when I was a kid, I used to have a Swiss Army knife. Now, I never actually used its 33 different functions because, you know, it's just more of a cool thing to hold in my hand and then show it off to my friends. Now, an AK-47 really only has one function, a deadly one, but a judge has ruled that if a Californian wants to buy one, hold it in their hands, and show it off to their friends, they can now. Last week, U.S. District Judge Roger Benitez overturned California's 3-decades-old assault weapons ban, along the way comparing the AK with a Swiss Army knife as a way to illustrate the assault weapon's versatility. Yesterday, the state appealed. For more, let's go to Zach Corser, director of the Policy Lab at Claremont Mechanic College. Zach, welcome.
I just bought the Take Two mug today.
Did you really? Good, good. I'll sign it for you. How about that? It'll cheapen it, but you know, you'll have my signature. And Marisa Lagos, political correspondent for KQED and co-host of the podcast Political Breakdown. Marisa, welcome back to you as well.
Always good to be here, and I'm waiting for my mug in the mail, guys.
You got to call 866-888-5722 for a reason.
I'm good,
You know that. All right, now, this ruling came down last Friday. Yesterday, California answered. Marisa, what happened?
Right, so this was, I guess if you were following the case, expected ruling, but pretty shocking to a lot of folks. And the judge did stay the ruling for 30 days to give the state this chance to appeal. We are expecting the broader Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals to take it up, and the state's going to be asking them to essentially, you know, allow the ban to remain in effect until the case is adjudicated. But it's really up in the air what could happen. I mean, this could move quickly. It could get, you know, this overturning of the ban could get struck down by the higher court. But in either case, either side could appeal it to the Supreme Court. And so this is a big, big deal in California.
Yeah. And Zach, let me ask you this. What evidence is there one way or another on the ban's effectiveness over the last 3 decades?
Well, the Attorney General cited a couple of studies that were done by gun control advocates in his statement about this decision. He said in one study, it was found that over the last 12 years, that 6 times the number of people were shot in incidents where an assault weapon was involved. And there was another study that showed that California has a 30% less homicide rate than other states. So, you know, these things tend to indicate that this is having an effect, that, you know, this assault weapons ban, unlike what the judge has said, has actually had a positive effect, even though it hasn't, you know, stopped it all, you know, homicides altogether or these kinds of incidents. It's had a positive effect.
Yeah, and Marisa, he mentioned how it's been a failure. That didn't sound right. I know that he's maybe going for effect there, but it just didn't sound right that it's a failure.
Well, I mean, what he points out is that California leads the nation in mass shootings. What, you know, he doesn't mention after that is that we have more people than anywhere
people.
Else in the
yeah,
United
a lot
States.
Of people.
I think that there is a genuine question as to whether this has done the job of preventing mass shootings. And that may not be directly related to the ban itself, but to the fact that you can still go through other, you know, channels to get these weapons. Yeah. You can go to Nevada. You can get them, you know, through the black market. But it is true, and I think we should put this in context, and I'm not saying that people shoot themselves with AK-40, you know, with AR-15s or, you know, assault rifles, but suicides are the leading cause of gun deaths. And then homicides are, you know, after that. And I think that one thing that does seem clear is that on a broad sort of scale, our very strict gun control laws in California do mean or have helped mean that you are 2 to 3 times less likely to die here of a gun death than you are in a state like Wyoming, Alaska, you know, Florida. So I do think that there's a good argument that gun control laws work. But, you know, this judge is really basing this ruling, honestly, on 2 Supreme Court cases that came out in the last 15 years, came out years after the first ban was put into place. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of hope on the folks who oppose it, that he's making a very clear cut case that the Supreme Court really kind of laid the groundwork for this, and that the court might be pretty anxious to take this up with their new, like, pretty strong conservative majority. It's a 6-3 split.
Now, in a lot of ways, as California goes, so does the rest of the nation. I mean, you look at environmental policy, fuel emission standards. Zach, is there anything at stake on this beyond state lines?
Oh, there's a lot at stake. This case was filed by three San Diego gun rights groups, and I think it's a good example of what we call a test case. That is to say, a case that's trying to get into the federal court system in hopes that it will get to the Supreme Court to change some kind of policy about the Constitution. And you have to, and as Marissa pointed out, you know, we have a more conservative Supreme Court, and it's really only been since 2010 that the Supreme Court has applied the Second Amendment to the states in a challenge to Chicago's ban on handguns. So if this gets to the courts, there's the potential for the Supreme Court to enlarge the Second Amendment and restrict what states can do in regulating guns. So I think there's a lot riding on this.
Gun ownership in the U.S. has been a politicized issue for a long time, but now apparently wearing masks has quickly become the next hot topic. May Wendy Williams please forgive me for stealing that. But, you know, a little while back, it felt as if June 15th was this kind of magical day where, boom, California would snap out of its pandemic haze and then be 100% fully open paradise again. But Marissa, for workplaces, that is no longer the case. Or was it ever really anyway?
Well, I think we may have been smoking a little something if we thought that the pandemic, we would wake up one day and it would just be gone.
And it's legal here in California to be smoking a little something, by the way. Yes.
Yeah, so this is a little confusing. I mean, here's the deal. If you're vaccinated, come next week, you can basically be mask-free in most settings. You can't, you know, you still have to put it on for transit and in schools and in childcare and other, like, healthcare settings. But generally, you're going to be able to, you know, put that mask in your pocket and keep it there. If you're not vaccinated, that's a different story. And I think on the question of workplaces, it is still being worked out. It seems very likely that the statewide body that sort of sets those rules, Cal OSHA, will come back in the next few weeks and essentially kind of put us in line with the federal guidelines, which is to say that, you know, if everyone's vaccinated at a workplace, you don't have to be masked inside together. But, you know, there's a lot being left up to individuals, to businesses, to organizations. Mm-hmm. And I did love that one thing the state has made very clear about is that you can't discriminate against somebody for wearing a mask.
That's right. That's going to be me. That's going to be me. I'm going to be
right. And so, like, just, I mean, I've been doing this, all this reporting with a colleague in Florida about the differences between our states, which are vast. And it's just like, it's just two sides of the same coin, right? There, they're like, you can't, you know, take the mask off. You can't tell anyone to wear it. And here it's like, no. If they want to wear it, they still can.
Yeah. And Zach, I realize that we've never gone through something like this and we're all learning as we go, trying our best. But how much of a lesson can this be for government agencies in terms of effective messaging? Because it seems like one agency says this, the other one says that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, consistency is key because you want people to understand and follow the rules. You know, much of this, just like everything we've seen during the pandemic, is going to rely on voluntary compliance because, you know, enforcing this on a one-by-one basis is just really difficult, if not impossible. So setting clear, easy to follow and consistent guidelines is really vital. And I think that's why Cal OSHA is rethinking, even though they're going to be a little late to the party at the end of this month, I think you'll end up seeing that they're going to be on the same page as the state and as the CDC.
Now, Zach and Marissa, I don't know if you both have heard the big news, but, you know, let me let my friend explain.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Yeah, I have a house now, by the way. It has a mahogany all over it. Yes, I'll be working for NPR. Have you guys heard of it? Since I won't be able to pull focus away from national politics as much anymore, I have to indulge one last time in California's recall, maybe for the last time. Caitlyn Jenner has gotten a lot of media coverage, maybe more than anyone else is challenging Gavin Newsom, but things haven't gone very smoothly. It started off with a weird appearance on Hannity, and then yesterday on The View, she did not answer a very simple question from Joy Behar.
I want to ask you something before we go because we're out of time. Something that's important for me to know. You say that you're a Republican, and I'm just wondering because a lot of Republicans in this country believe that Donald Trump won the election and not Joe Biden. Are you one of those people, one of those Republicans?
I'm not going to get into that. That election is over with. I think Donald Trump did do some good things. And what I liked about Donald Trump is he was a disruptor.
So, Marisa, she couldn't answer that or didn't want to answer that question. And it seems like she hasn't gotten much traction despite all the publicity. What will it take for Caitlyn Jenner, Marisa, you think, to get some traction here?
I mean, I don't want to be too flip, but I think she needs to start performing better and show a better grasp of the politics and the issues. You know, I think that the challenge is running in California as a Republican who supported Trump. You don't want to sound, I think, too strongly in support of him just because there's a lot of people here who don't like him. But, you know, I think we've seen this before when celebrities decide to run for office. You really need to come in very prepared. And I just think generally we're not seeing a lot of attention paid, honestly, to anybody who's challenging Newsom in this recall.
Yeah, Zach, what about you? You think she can get some traction on this at all?
Well, I mean, I would describe the campaign thus far as a failure to launch. And with this last comment and some other gaffes, I think we may even see, you know, a danger of blowing up on the launch pad. I mean, I don't see any positive motion here. I don't see a strategy. I see a kind of piecemeal approach. I think the idea, the conceit at the beginning of this was take the star power and convert that into a quick rise in social media, get in front of Californians and make a case about replacing Newsom. And we're nowhere near that. And instead of that social media attention bringing in interest to her campaign, I think it's just kind of focusing on what a weak candidate she's been.
That's Zach Corser and Marisa Lago. Zach and Marisa, stay classy, California.
We're going to miss you.
Miss you, A.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.